All right, everybody that loves the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Take our Bible to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 30. 1 Samuel and chapter number 30. Once again, it is a delight and an honor to be here with you all today. And appreciate the invite to come back. Amen. All right, if you're in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, say amen. Now, like last Sunday night, I said timer, but since we just omitted church for Sunday night, I'm not going to worry about putting a timer on just because I got plenty of time now. Amen. And then y'all going to get plenty of rest when you go home today. Amen. That was one of the quickest meetings I ever seen. Nobody opposed. Nobody said anything. Everybody said, yes, we want to go home and relax and be with our family. Amen. And ain't nothing wrong with that. The last church I pastored, we had church from 10:30 till it got over. And then that was it. And then come back and had a midweek service. And there's a lot of churches that do that now, have church at 10:30, and then they just have church till like 1 o'clock, and they're done for the day. Amen? And either way makes me plumb happy. Amen? Church, there ain't no such thing as too much church. Amen? And there also ain't nothing wrong with rest and family. Amen? So 1 Samuel chapter number 30, 1 Samuel chapter number 30. And if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, the Bible says this. And it came to pass. I'm glad some things eventually come to pass, but I don't know what's about to happen if you want it to come to pass your house. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Father, we love you today. And God, we thank you, Lord, first of all, for traveling mercies for all of us, making it to church today. Thank you for giving us all the strength, the desire, the want to get up and be in church. And Lord, I pray for this place and these people that, God, you'd give them exactly what they need. Lord, I pray, God, you would take this passage of Scripture, and I pray that, God, you'd help us with it. Lord, and I pray that, God, you'd touch my voice, and God, touch my mind and my lips. And God, let me preach filled with the Holy Ghost and the touch of God. And God will give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, I pray, God, if somebody's underneath the sound of my voice and they're lost, Lord, I pray that, God, you would encourage in the day to call upon the lovely name of Jesus Christ and get saved. Lord, that's what it's all about, seeing one sinner come to Christ. And Lord, I remember the day I got saved. I was the only one that day. And Lord, maybe somebody in here, Lord, can be the only one or multiple that get saved today. And I pray you to help them and encourage them. Lord, I ain't trying to force them. Lord, it's just trying to encourage them, Lord, to get saved and trust you as their Savior. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. So we just read some tough verses. So here's the thought that I want to give to you is, what are you going to do when you lose everything you love? What are you going to do when you lose everything you love? So here David is, and I'm going to try my best to hopefully paint a picture in our minds, and hopefully you have an imagination, right? If you have an imagination, you can enjoy your Bible a whole lot better. So hopefully everyone has their imagination going. We've sang some songs. We've kind of got our energy up, got our blood flowing, got our minds thinking. Amen. And so here David is, and I just want to give this to you the best way I know how, is David is doing exactly what he was supposed to be doing. And he still faced loss. You can be doing exactly what you are supposed to be doing in the will of God and still lose some precious things to you. Here David is. He's being the leader. He's being that King David that he is. His men and their families, they're living the way they live. They got their camp set up. They got their tents all set up. They got where they sleep all set up. And just imagine a big open field with a lot of tents and maybe some fire pits out there. Children running around playing with each other. Maybe some wives maybe sitting together just staring at the children talking about life. The husbands over there sharpening their swords, sharpening their gear, getting all their gear ready because they're about to head out to battle. And they tell all their children they love them. They tell their wives they love them. And they're going to fight a battle in the will of God, fighting the right fight, fighting the right battle, fighting the enemy, trying to make sure that the enemy cannot get close to them, trying to make sure that the enemy does not get victory over God's army. They're doing everything they're supposed to be doing in their life. They're doing it all right. So David, they begin to march and they get to that battlefield and they fight the battle however they used to fight it, use whatever tactics they would use, and they overcome the enemy. They defeated the foe. But while they were all fighting one battle, they didn't realize that there was another enemy coming from the other side they had no clue about. In our life, we can be fighting one battle, be fighting the right battle, be living the right way, doing the right things, but that don't mean the enemy plays fair. The devil and Satan does not care about your righteous living. He don't care that you're doing all the right things. He don't care that you're going to church. He don't care that you're having family devotions. He don't give a rip about how good you're doing in life. He has one goal. That is to devour you. That's to get rid of you. That's to get you from being faithful. That's to get you out of church. To get you out of your Bible. To stop being a Christian. That's why, look, you signed up for this. Y'all know that, right? Amen. Nobody forced you to be a Christian. You chose to be a Christian. Amen. And being a Christian means you got to put on the whole armor of God. Why in the world do I need to have armor being a Christian? Because Satan is going to attack your life. Amen. And so while David was off doing the right thing, the enemy came from the other side and destroyed their camp, burned it with fire, took their wives, took their children. While David and his men are celebrating, having a victory, not even realizing what done took place, they're on the way marching back. Maybe they're singing them old march songs. I don't know. Bible don't say. Just use your imagination. Maybe they're talking about what just took place. Maybe they're having a conversation about it. Maybe they're talking about how they can't wait to get back to camp and see their bride and see their children and sing around the fire the old songs of Zion. And as they get a little closer, they see the smoke going up in the air. They see the ashes going up in the air. And maybe David whatever he was riding back then, a camel, a horse, I don't know. Maybe he picked up speed a little bit to get out in front of his men. And he got there to find out everything they loved was gone. Maybe you didn't lose everything you loved, but I imagine there's probably been some days you woke up and everything was fine when you went to sleep. And you woke up the next day and everything was a disaster. Amen. You went to bed one day, everything was perfect in your life. A week later, it seemed like your life was tumbling and falling apart. Seemed like everything that could go wrong is going wrong. Maybe you did lose some things. Maybe you did lose some people. Maybe somebody did take some things and rob some things from your heart and your soul. What are you going to do when you just lost everything? Look, I'm just going to be honest. I've lost some things, but I haven't maybe lost some things like you lost some things. I have went through some hurt and some sorrows, but maybe I haven't went through the same hurt and sorrows you went through. I know I ain't never went through what David went through. Hey, man. I ain't never came home, my house be burnt down, my wife be gone, and my children be gone. It ain't never happened to me. But I know who it has happened to. And his name's David. And all those men. So I'm just going to tell you what David did. And maybe that will encourage us that in those times where we feel like we're in that same spot where it seems like everything's going wrong, seems like things we love are being snatched left and right away from us, maybe we'll just see what David did and we can add that principle to our own life. Here's the first thing I imagine David did. I imagine he probably got to camp and began to wonder. Verse number 3. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, sons, and their daughters were taken captive. I wonder if David began to wonder, was I doing the right thing? Was I fighting the right battle? Y'all ever have something happen to you and the first thing you question is yourself? Something go bad in your life, you get sick or family gets sick or you face a loss, and the first thing you do is look at yourself in the mirror and say, what in the world am I doing wrong? You go to your prayer closet and you start confessing everything in your life that may or may not even be sin. You start confessing everybody else's sin that's in your life. Why? Because you think that whatever's going on is your fault. However, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. That means bad things are going to happen to you. Bad things are going to happen to lost people. Bad things are going to happen to saved people. Things are not going to always go right for a righteous man, and things are not always going to go right for an unjust man. God is not a respecter of persons. And when I signed up to be a Christian, I did not sign up to drink pink lemonade and sit in the shade all day. I signed up to be in a battle. I signed up to be in a war. And you know why there's a whole lot of Christians today that are carrying a whole lot of baggage and a whole lot of wounds? It's because you signed up to fight a battle and you've been on the front lines ever since. And I don't know about you, but anybody on the front lines is going to take a hit. And when you stand on the front line with your Bible and with Christ and with standards and wanting God and loving God, there's going to be some arrows from Satan that hits you. And you are doing the right thing. You're not even doing the wrong thing. You're trying to live a righteous life. You're trying to have a holy life. You're trying to live Holy Ghost filled. But just because you're trying to do right, that's the one Satan is trying to kill. Satan don't got to go after the ones that ain't on the front line. The ones that are sitting in the back somewhere, sitting in their house, not getting up and going to church. He ain't got to bother them people. He already got them. He don't got to shoot arrows at them. He's already got them defeated.
But the ones that are trying to get up and go to church and be faithful, read their Bibles, raise their family right, you're the one he's trying to get rid of. Say, well, I didn't sign up to be a Christian to go through all this hurt, to bleed, to go through all this pain, to face all this turmoil, to go through all this. Yeah, you did. James said, count it all joy when you face diverse temptations. Paul said he was a blessed man to be going through all that suffering. You're going to go through some suffering. You're going to go through some struggles because you signed up to struggle. You signed up to suffer. You signed up saying, God, make me like you. If I'm going to be made like him, I got to bleed. If I'm going to look like Jesus, I have to bleed at some point. If I'm going to look like Jesus, I have to have the very ones that love me and that I trusted spit on me. I mean, you want to look like Jesus, right? You want to have a life reflecting his life. There's going to be some loved ones spit on you, mock you, laugh at you, and yes, that's looking like Christ. And still, the whole time they're doing that, the whole time they stick a spear in your side, not giving a rip about your life, the whole time you're saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The whole time they're making fun of you, putting a crown of thorns on you, watching you bleed out, watching you pour out your life for them. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about because I'm bearing witness with you. You give your life for them to step on it and trying to figure out why you're getting treated that way. Because you signed up for it. One of these days you got an altar and you said, Lord Jesus, help me to look like you. Jesus, use my life. Jesus, help me to have the power of God on my life. Help me to reflect you more in my life. Y'all got to be careful how y'all pray. He said, okay, here's a thorn in your side. He said, okay, here's somebody that's going to backstab you. Here's somebody that's going to follow you and turn you in and be a traitor. You want to be like me? Here David was, probably wondering, was I doing the right thing? Yes, David, you were doing all the right things. David, you was all fighting the battle. David, you was leading your men. David, you did all the right things. Hey, church, just because you may feel under attack and feel oppressed and feel like Satan is trying to rip you apart, hey, be encouraged. You're doing the right things. So David may have wondered. And if we're all honest, when we face something in our life, we begin to wonder, is it our fault? Is it our fault? Only you and the Lord know that. But in David's instance, it wasn't David's fault. And maybe this morning you need to hear that. Maybe this morning you need to hear that everything you've been through isn't your fault. It's just part of life. And sometimes life ain't fair. Sometimes life don't go as expected. And Satan does not give a rip about how many times you've been in church. That makes him even more mad. Amen. Lord, let me look like you. Okay. Here's some loss. Here's some tragedy. Here's somebody forsaking you. Here's somebody lying on you. Here's somebody cussing you. Here's somebody spitting you. Amen. And the whole time, all you did was try to help and heal people. help them get through whatever, help them heal, help them go. That's all Jesus was doing. He was ministering, helping, healing, but still yet was treated like he was nobody. David wondered. Verse 4, David wept. David wept. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice, and they wept until they had no more power to weep. Y'all ever been there? Your heart shattered, your heart broken, and you just keep crying and crying and crying. And sooner or later, your body still feels like it's crying, but there's no more tears coming out. That's what David and his men were doing. And these men, they weren't just limp-wristed sissy men, right? These were warriors. Amen. These men sharpened their swords on a daily basis, ready to kill somebody if they got a little too close. I mean, that's how it was. That's what these kind of men were. These men loved their family, loved their home, loved their God, loved and were willing to die for it at any moment. These were men of men, and they were weeping. Y'all know, hey, just because you're a man, it's okay to cry. Hey, just because you're a man don't mean you can't cry. The only kind of man that don't cry is a man full of pride. If that's you, I'm sorry. If it ain't you, praise the Lord. You ain't mad at me right now. These men wept because they loved something so much, and now just like that, it was gone. They had them ugly face cries. Y'all know what that is? I'm talking about, y'all ever been in church and it gets so good and you just start crying and you don't even know why you're crying? And you just start worshiping, praising God, and you just can't quit crying. You got that ugly face cry. And you're like, Lord, I love you, but I sure hope ain't nobody staring at me right now. Your face looks all crooked 300 different ways. That's how they were weeping. So they had no more power to weep. Look, the first thing you need to do when you lose something that you love, just go cry. Just go ahead and weep somewhere. It's okay. It's all right to hurt. It's all right to suffer. It's an honor to suffer for the name of Christ. Just go ahead and weep somewhere. Weep on an altar. Weep in your prayer closet. Weep in your car. Weep at home. Let your wife see you cry. It's okay. When you weep, you can heal. The reason why some people never heal is because they don't weep. That weeping will bring you healing. David wept. That weeping turns into something. Turns into worship. Verse number 6. David encouraged himself in the Lord thy God. In the Lord his God. So his weeping, here's what weeping is going to do. If you keep your eyes on Christ, you'll worship him. If you put your eyes on men, you'll become bitter. When you get hurt and you lose something you love, you'll either point your finger at God and you'll become bitter, or you'll lift your hands to God and you'll become better. And you'll begin to worship. David was weeping. The men that followed him in the battle, what did they do? They came out. They spake of what? The Bible says they spake of stoning David. So all the men that just followed David into battle, things didn't go right. And instead of going and praying like David did and worshiping God, they said, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to wipe out our leader. It's his fault. It's David's fault. He's the one that led us into battle, and now we're going to blame him. People do that every day to God. They trust God, they follow God, they obey God, and one thing in their life goes wrong and they say, God don't love me no more. They are on fire for the Lord. One thing goes wrong in their life, all of a sudden, God don't love me, God ain't real, God this, God that, I'm done with church, I'm done with life. Because they started blaming him. They started pointing the finger at Christ instead of worshiping him. And you become bitter and not better. Same thing in the church world. Right? You have a pastor. You follow that man. You trust that man with the leadership of the church. And God decides to split. God decides to prune the church out. Some people leave. He preaches on something. And you love him. You've been following him for years. You've been trusting him for a decade. And he preaches on music. Or he preaches on what you watch, or he preaches on how you dress, or whatever it is. He preaches something that maybe is his standard, and maybe he kind of didn't have enough biblical authority to say it all, and you forget that he's just a man. You forget that he's just a human being. And somebody leaves the church all upset, and now you want to vote the pastor out because it's all his fault. Hey, if they're going to leave the church, they're going to leave. And ain't nothing to do with the pastor. Ain't nothing to do with the leadership. If they ain't living in sin, right? If the pastor and leadership ain't living in sin, don't blame them. If people leave, people leave. Sometimes God wants them to leave. Amen? And if you're not careful, you'll blame the pastor. Like they were blaming David. They said, let's get rid of David. You start saying, let's get rid of the pastor. Happens all over the world. Happens all over the world. Amen. Let's get back to weeping. David wept until he had no more power to weep. And instead of pointing fingers at God and blaming God for losing his family, he went off somewhere and he just encouraged himself in the Lord and said, Lord, I'm going to trust you with what's going on. Amen. Next thing David did is he waited. How many of y'all, if you come home and your house is burnt down, you're going to go in a prayer closet somewhere and wait on God? I mean, I'm just being honest. I probably ain't going to do that. Right? If I came home and my wife was missing and Abel was missing, you better believe the last thing I'm going to even be thinking about is going in a prayer closet. And that's just my flesh. Right? Amen. That's just me being honest. I'm going to want to get in my vehicle. I'm going to want to figure out what in the world happened. I'm going to want to find them. You probably ain't going to sleep until that happens. But David, he waited. He went and prayed and worshiped. I don't know what kind of level of spirituality you got to get to that, but we're trying. He's still working on us. Amen. I'm not there. Don't expect you to be there, but if you are there, I need to link up with you. So David went and worshiped and he prayed. And look, your circumstance may not be as extreme as David's. And if you're honest with yourself, things that happened in your life that you reacted to quickly, you probably could have been a little patient on. You probably could have took the time to go in your prayer closet and pray about it, ask God for leadership, but you didn't. You say, how you know that? I know a lot of things because I've done all of them. Right? If I'm preaching it, it's probably because I've lived it. I've probably lived it a time or two where I got in too big of a rush and didn't step back and say, Lord, help me. And I made somebody upset or did the wrong thing. Not sin, just doing the wrong, just life. Right? But David went and prayed and he waited and he said, I'm not moving. He said, I'm not moving until I hear from God. So he did that. He prayed and he waited. And God spoke to him. Didn't he? And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? So there he goes. He asked the Lord first. And the Lord said, what did he say? Pursue. He said, pursue. And let's just push the time out before we go any further. There's a whole lot of battles that you have fought or are fighting, and Jesus never told you to fight them. There's probably a whole list of things in your life, even right now, that Jesus has not even told you to mess with, talk about it, touch it, fight it, but you are. We would save ourselves a lot of trouble if we just quit fighting things God never told us to fight. If we would quit trying to deal with things that God never told us to go deal with. But the reason we keep doing that is because we're not taking the time to ask God, should we even go deal with it? Whether it's home, work, wherever it is. Amen. And I'm going to show you something. If David would have never waited on God, he would have never found his family. If David would have never waited on the voice of God to lead him and give him a word, he would have never saved his family. That may very well be the difference in your life. Whether you're willing to be patient and wait on God to speak to you in order for God to perform a miracle or not. And so here David is. He goes, right? Him and all those men that just wanted to stone him. David comes out of his prayer room, out of his prayer closet. He says, hey guys, I know y'all just wanted to stone me. I know y'all just wanted me dead, but I want to let you know I've been in prayer. I've been in my prayer closet, and God said, let's go get our family back. Everybody probably got excited. Everybody probably held up the swords, said, let's go get our family. And on this journey, they had to learn some things. On the journey that they are about to embark in, they were about to learn some things in life even further. So these men, they begin their journey. They begin to get a little further in their journey. Some 200 of them get a little tired. 200 of them get a little wore out. They can't keep going. So David and the rest, they keep going, right? They keep marching on a mission, on a journey to get our family. In the middle of their journey, and this is why it is so important that David waited on the voice of God and waited to hear a word from God, is because in the middle of their journey, they ran into an Egyptian man. They ran into a young man who was part of taking their family. So they approached this young man. This young man had no clue who David was. David said, "What's going on?" He said, "Well," he said, "I fell sick." And he said, "My captain left me here to die." See, when David's men fell sick, he left them by a river of water. When Pharaoh's men fell sick, he left them in the middle of a desert to die. That's going to be a difference between what army you're walking with. If you're in the Lord's army, you may get hurt, you may get tired, you may get worn out, but when you do, he'll put you by a river of water to get strength. When you decide, "I'm going to sell out to the world, I'm going to sell out to sin," when you get tired and wore out from sin in the world says, "We don't need you no more," and they leave you out in a dry desert to die. But thank God that when that young man was in a dry desert about to die, King David came by and said, "What's going on?" He said, "Here's some bread. Here's some water. Get a little help." That's exactly what the king did for you one day when the world said they were done with you, when sin said that it was done with you, it was tired of you, it was about to take you out. There's a king that came by your desert. There's a king that came by your home. There's a king that came by your life. And when the world said they didn't have nothing for you, the king showed up and he said, "Here's a drink of water, here's some bread, here's some meat, here's some life. You was about dead, you was about gone, and God said, 'Not yet, I'm going to quicken you, I'm going to make you alive, I'm going to breathe in you, I'm going to put the breath of God in you,' and he saved your life." If David would have moved too soon, that young man would have died in the desert. But because David waited on God, he was able to help that young man on the way to get his help. Hey, look, on the way of God doing some things for you, he's going to put some people in your path that you can do some things for them. Amen. The first thing David had to learn after being hurt was forgiveness. The first thing you're going to have to learn after being hurt is forgiveness. You're going to have to forgive somebody. This young man just literally told this man and 400 others with swords, "I was part of the crowd that went and burnt your tents, took your wives, took your children, and nobody killed them." Those 400 said, "We want to kill them." David said, "No, he's still useful." When the world said they wanted to kill you and sin wanted to kill you, Jesus stepped in and said, "No, they're still useful. They can still be used in the kingdom of God." They had to learn forgiveness. And the first thing you're going to have to learn after you face loss and face hurt is you're going to have to forgive somebody. If he's forgiven us, then we ought to forgive others. So they began their journey. Some of them got fatigued. The young man leads them down there to the camp. David said, "I'm going to give you some water and give you some bread, but you're going to take me down there to where they are, where they got my family." Amen. So here was a young man about to die without God, and the king showed up. Not only did he give him some bread and water, but he said, "I got something for you to do." Amen. That's going to change lives. When you was about dead in sin and nobody wanted you, The king showed up in your life, gave you some water, gave you some bread, and he said, I got something for you to do that's going to change lives. Amen. So then there was a fight. David got there and did exactly what God said to. He went down there and they killed everybody they could kill. Amen. And I imagine if somebody came messing with your family, you would do everything you could to protect them. Even in today's America. David just did exactly what God told him to do. They smote everyone they could smote. Some of them got away. And the Lord gave everything back to them. Look, there's a time in our life to where we got to forgive. There's a time that somebody's going to need forgiveness and you're going to have to forgive them. And there's also going to be a time that you got to stand up and fight for what's right. There's going to be a time to where you say, I can't put up with it. And you got to stand for it and you got to fight for it. They got done fighting and they began to head back to camp. They got back to that brook. That brook, it means it's a cheerful place. They began to celebrate. Some of those men that made the whole journey, they said, well, the 200 that didn't make the whole journey ought not to get all the blessing. David said, well, that ain't quite how it works. Amen. Because God ain't a respecter of persons. The same faith that the 200 had to start the journey and have to wait by the brook because they got so wore out is the same faith that the 400 had to have to finish it all the way. And when we get to heaven, Christ is not going to give a rip about who did the most. Is that okay to say? He's not going to care how much more somebody else did besides you. He ain't going to care that one church was 2,000 and one church was 40. All he's going to care is, did my servant finish the race? Was my servant, the only thing that he wants to find is a man that's faithful. And it took the same faith to wait by the brook that it did for the 400 to go and fight. And there's going to come a time in your life where you're going to have the strength to fight. And you're going to have faith to fight that fight. And eventually, you're going to get to a place where you ain't going to be able to have the same energy you used to have. You ain't got the same strength you used to have. And you're going to need somebody else to help fight that fight while you sit by the brook. Amen. While you sit by the brook and you get a drink and you get refreshed, you're going to have to trust somebody else to go fight. And God's going to honor both parties with the same blessing. Amen. So there was a time of fellowship. There's a time of reunion. David got his wives back. Don't do that today, though. David had two. Don't have more than one. We don't quite operate the same way they operated back then. This is the Old Testament. They got away with some stuff you ain't getting away with nowadays. They got their children. Got all their things back. Amen. God took care of them. Can the pianist come? Play softly. I'm about to be done. I don't know what you've lost on this side of eternity.
We were all going to face loss. We're all going to suffer. We're all going to go through some things. But I know this, and I don't, my mind is not quite able to comprehend it all. Maybe yours is. But I know this, that when we leave this side of eternity and we go sit by the brook on the other side of eternity, I don't quite know how it's all going to work. But I know this, everything you lost on this side is going to be given back to you on the other side. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's why you look the way you look. You might face loss on this side of eternity. That's just part of it, part of life, part of resembling the lovely Lamb of God. But when we cross over and we're all sitting by the brook up in heaven, everything that you felt is lost, everything you lost on this side, he's gonna give it all back. Somehow, some way. She's going to play softly, and we're going to stand our feet.